We're talking today with John Spink, who's with the Irish Ag and Food Development Agency and Authority. The Irish name is
Chagas.
Chagas. And John, this you're actually doing crop cereal research here at this particular facility, as well as potato breeding, potato research on the cereals. First of all, why does Ireland have such a tremendous yield compared to many other parts of the world?
Well, compared to many other parts of the world, we don't suffer really from any drought. Say the driest parts of Ireland would receive 750 millimetres of rainfall, which is nearly 3 feet of rainfall a year, and the wettest parts would receive about 9 feet of rainfall. So drought isn't particularly an issue. And certainly the southeast of the country tends to have relatively bright and relatively cool weather, which gives us a very long growing season with very little risk of running into drought causing early senescence. As well as that very high yield potential, though, that those weather conditions give us a very high risk of wet weather diseases. And I think in the absence of being able to get good control of those diseases, we would probably have amongst the lowest yields in the world. We get about a 50% yield response to fungicides.
So you're actually a combination of some breeding, but also a lot of fungicide use then?
Yeah, I mean, the majority, I suppose, if we're honest at the minute, would be due to disease control with fungicides rather than genetic resistance.
How often do you have to go in as far as your winter wheat crop is concerned to properly control those diseases?
In terms of a winter wheat crop, most people would be going in either 3 times or 4 times. They'd usually put a spray on at the start of stem extension, another one when the flag leaf is fully emerged, and then a final spray on the ear, which protects against fusarium infection of the ear, but also tops up protection for Septoria triticae. If people were using a fourth one, it would be a holding spray right at the beginning of the season to try and reduce the spread of disease prior to the first spray.
Right. And so with this annual yield of 9 to almost 10 tons per hectare, you said the quality does suffer some.
Yes. I mean, most of the wheat is grown purely for animal feed. It's very hard to get sufficiently high proteins with those yields to meet bread-making quality. But also, due to the high rainfall, it's quite common that you would be harvesting in wet conditions. You know, the standard is to harvest at 20% moisture, and that's what grain's marketed as. But certainly pre-harvest sprouting, low Hagberg falling numbers would be a significant risk, even if you manage to get the protein. Any wheat that's grown for bread making is really spring wheat because of its lower yields.
Right. And I guess what we're really talking about a soft wheat for this winter wheat, right?
Yeah, be a soft white wheat for the winter wheat. So really just for starch production for animal feed.
Right. And what, about 75-80% of its winter wheat, 20% or so, I think you say, was spring wheat?
Yeah, thereabouts. It varies a bit from year to year, obviously, depending on the season. And where we have very wet autumns, we'll tend to have a higher proportion of spring wheat. But the majority of the wheat is autumn sown. Conversely, barley, the majority is spring sown.
Right. I know that in the case of your potato breeding program here, a lot of discussion with our group about the fact that you've got some diseases, and but yet you've not been able to use all the tools that maybe were at your disposal as far as breeding is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, the breeding program here at Oak Park, which has been going on for 50 years, is a conventional breeding program using traditional sort of crossing and multiple years of selection. We have, over the last 3 or 4 years, started to introduce an experimental marker-assisted selection breeding program. Again, it's using conventional crossing, but being able to mark genes so that you can select for them more efficiently through the program. But we don't currently have within our breeding program any GM material, really because of market resistance.
I thought it was fascinating that the same blight that was there for the world-renowned famine that devastated the Irish population, what, a couple of hundred years ago, is still here.
It is, yeah, and it's probably not exactly the same. Obviously, there's been a lot of use of fungicides over the years in between, to control blight, and it's almost inevitable when you use a fungicide that the blight population will develop some resistance to that. So we probably have actually more aggressive blight now than was around in the mid 1800s.
When we think about that, you were telling me what, almost weekly, 5, 6, 7 days, you've got a tree.
Yeah, I mean, the standard fungicide program from when the crop meets within the rows would be to spray every week. Certainly as new foliage is being produced with chemicals that are obviously translocated within the crop, and then with protectant products, and then with products at the end of the season to try and protect the tubers from any spores going down through the soil and affecting the tubers. So 15 to 20 times a season would not be uncommon.
When we think about the possibilities, the billions of euros that could be saved, it's goes back to this argument that we've had on so many crops. There's benefit for the farmers, benefit for production, but not a benefit for consumers when we talk about GM.
I think in the case of perhaps in the case of potatoes and in the case of blight resistance, I think if the consumer realized how big the reduction or the potential reduction in pesticide use would be, even if he didn't get down to the point of using no fungicides, but he got sufficiently good inherent varietal resistance that you could cut down to 2 or 3 fungicides a year, I think if that was put to the public in the right way, they would perceive that that was a general benefit.
The example you gave was that there is a lot of difference when you start thinking about between nothing and 15 or 16 treatments a year.
I mean, there's obviously a huge pesticide load on the environment, which is something that the public are obviously interested in. There's the risk of some of these things reaching water, drift into neighbouring crops. So people are aware of pesticides as well as GM.
The head of the Crop Science Department for the Agriculture and Food Development Authority for Ireland, John Spink, after his presentation to the Oklahoma Ag Leadership Program's Class 15 in Oak Park at their facilities here in Ireland. Continuing our reports from the 2012 International Travel Experience of the Oklahoma Ag Leadership Program, I'm Ron Hayes on the OklahomaFarmReport.com.